Good morning. I am so thankful to be here with you. And I need somebody to tell me 5 minutes before I need to finish that I finish. Because otherwise you're here until a long time from now. I'm going to move this to you, Wilder. Okay, thank you. I am so thankful to be here. Go ahead and go to the next slide, please. First of all, I want to say thank you for all that you have done over the years. You have been supporting Lifeline for I don't know how many years, but thank you for your prayers because they sustain us. Thank you for your giving because they help us to provide resources and things to the community. And thank you for your generosity because it is changing lives. And some of you are volunteering with us, so I'm really grateful for that. My message today is about the 7-11 principle. And we all know, go ahead, do the one before that. Oh, I missed one slide. Okay, I got this cute note from a child, and it quoted Jeremiah 29:11, and it said, there it is, okay. I hope you're doing well in your Lifeline program. I want you to read this chapter. I just loved it, right? Do you all know this verse? Okay, what is this verse? Come on, let's quote it together. For I know the plans... plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future, right? We all know this verse. And a couple other translations say, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out, plans to take care of you, not to abandon you, plans to give you hope, give you the future and the you hope for. And then the third one, for I know the plans and thoughts I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. We live into that, don't we? Right? Especially right now in this crazy world we're living in. We live into Jeremiah 29:11. We need it in our lives. We are so thankful that God has made these promises. But the word prosper is not talking about your wallet. Well, I don't have my wallet here, but you guys do, right? It's not talking about how much riches you have accumulated, how much money you have in the bank or in your savings account. It is about shalom. Shalom means completeness, safety, wholeness, well-being. In Israel, when people greet each other or go away, they will say shalom to you. And what it means, it says, may health and prosperity be with you. Or may you be full of well-being. Isn't that beautiful? It is so much better than prosperity, right? Because prosperity in our life, here in our culture, says hustle, do the work, save up the money, do the right things, right? But shalom is well-being. It is rest. It is peace. It is wholeness. Oh my goodness, there's a little one in here. Rabbit plane. Rabbit just went by there. Cute. Awesome. Two? Twins. All right, I'm going to be there afterwards. Borrow them. All right. But this is what Scripture is talking about, right? And those twins, they're not about prosperity at this point. They are about shalom. They need wellness. They need peace. They need wholeness. Go ahead. But the reality is, oh, I'm sorry, go back one more time. You were ahead of me. So the reality is we live in a very broken world right now, right? You're looking at the murder that just happened to the family, and I'm doing a prayer tonight at the vigil, and I don't even have words for it at this point. I just want to lament with the families that are affected by this. And really, all of us are affected by this, right? Because every time you take your child now to school, you have to wonder, will there be a shooting? Every time you go to the grocery store, you have to wonder if you're going to be, if somebody's going to rob you. My brother-in-law just told me that they got hacked and their whole system got messed up and they had to change everything, passwords and codes and all of that. A lot of work, right? We live in very difficult times in our lives. But I think sometimes we forget the context of Jeremiah 29:11. because Jeremiah 29:11 was not written to you and me. It was written to the people of Israel who had really screwed up their lives. They were disobedient to God. They did whatever they wanted to do. They created havoc. They didn't walk with God any longer. And out of that, God sent them into captivity. And now they're in Babylon, a country unknown to them, with different cultures, different gods, different worship, different prayer work, different smells, different customs. Everything was different. And into this setting comes a verse first. And it says, "This is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says to those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." First of all, realize it says, "I carried them." God ordained this. God allowed this to happen. "Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and daughters and give them into marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number, do not decrease." I feel like sometimes we kind of live in Babylon right now. Right? We live in a country that we don't know much about anymore. The culture is different. The behaviors are different. The language is very different. The four-letter words have increased and the 10-letter words have decreased, right? All of it is different. And some of us have a tendency to go, "Well, I am not going to be part of that. You know, I'm going to just stay away from it, stay cloistered in my community, in my church, and that is what I do." But God said to the Israelites, "I have put you there on purpose. Now live it out. Live out your calling to reproduce, to have families, to prosper." But then comes another verse. Go one more, I'm sorry. "So also I seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper." That is verse 7. Okay, now go back, please. So many times we live in this bounded set, right? We live in our Christian community, and everything is nice and well here. Although in most churches, not everything is nice and well either, right? I have been to council meetings and conflicts. That's the reason why we have so many denominations, right? But we live in this bubble that's inside of the church. And people are either in or out of the church, depending on what church denomination you're part of. But God is saying, "No, I am at the center of absolutely everything. And you're either drawing closer to me or you're drawing further away from me." It's a centered set. God did not say, "Go into your huddle," to Israel. "Go into your huddle and don't do anything else." It says, "No, be part of this community, be part of this world." That does not mean that you have to go to every party and every wild thing that happens, right? You know what God calls you to do. And do that, right? So the thing is, we live in a world that is broken, and yet God called us to seek the peace and the prosperity of the city. So, what are you doing? How do you, as a church, work for the peace and prosperity of your city? Do the next one. How do you contribute to the success of your city? I know you do things in this church. I know you have food distributions. I know you have a co-op here. I know you're part of when the big events happen at the park. You are doing things already. But is that helping the success of the city? All right. Next one, how often do we pray for the city? Let's just be honest, Right? I pray for the city when I find out about crisis mode, when something bad happens. That's when I pray. I know you have a Tuesday morning prayer time. How often do you pray for your city here? And how do you then engage in it? And the last question is, if New Life Community Church would disappear, if you closed the door and this building wouldn't be here, would the community miss you? Seriously, would they miss you? You would miss the church. But do you have enough impact on this church, this community around you, that they would go, oh my goodness, we so need New Life Community Church in our neighborhood? Go ahead and go to the next one. You cannot have one without the other. You cannot ask God. You have to seek the peace and prosperity of the peace of the city. You have to seek the prosperity of the city. You have to pray for the city. You have to see it prosper if you want to claim Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. If you want to prosper, if you want to not be harmed, if you want to hope in the future, you've got to be part of the bigger picture of God. You can't take a verse out of context and claim it. This was not in my script, but there are religions around here in this world that do that, and it's very detrimental, right? And there's times when we even as Christians have done that. Good intentions, unintended consequences. The question is, do you live out the 7-11 principle? Verse 7, seek the peace and prosperity of the city. Verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. What do you do as a church? John asked me to share a little bit about what Lifeline does these days. You are part of what Lifeline does. Lifeline is a nonprofit organization that I started 15 years ago to empower impoverished neighborhoods to thrive. We believe that every community is beautiful. Every neighborhood has gifts and talents and abilities. Because reality is, 2,000 years ago, Jesus moved into the hood. Right? It's not when I came in and said, hey, let's do Lifeline, that something happened. No, when Jesus came to earth, he already was in Atwater. He came to Atwater. His heart was already longing for peace in Winton, in Merced. His heart was longing for shalom to be evident in the neighborhoods. And so when we look at our communities as our organization, we're looking at it as this beautiful tree that is ready to just create this amazing fruit. But a tree only is as good as its root system is. And we all know that right now, right? I mean, with the drought, we haven't watered our plants and everything is dying and all that stuff, right? So really, Lifeline is focusing on four areas in our communities to strengthen the root system. One is relationships. We believe everything we do has to do with relationships. Because handing out stuff all the time does not make a relationship. When I give you a box of food, sorry, I'm going to pick on you. When I'm giving you a box of food, I'm in charge, and you are the recipients of my kindness. Aren't you glad? There it is. Nothing against food giveaways, don't get me wrong. But the more often I do that, the more I'm saying to you, you're really not capable of taking care of your own family. It takes me, the good person, to help you with this box of food. Or this Christmas gift, or this whatever it is, right? But the reality is, he too has something to contribute. He has gifts and abilities. Maybe at the next food giveaway, we should ask him, saying, hey, you're a young, energetic young man. Can you help us put the boxes away? Can you help us put the boxes into the bags, into the cars? Does that change my relationship with him? All of a sudden, he is a participant, not just a receiver of the resources. But that means I need to have a relationship with this person. I need to know what they love, what their passions are, what their gifts are, how they are wired. I need to know their story. When you look at me, you don't know my story. Some of you do, but most of you probably don't. I look pretty put together right now because it's Sunday morning. I put makeup on just for you, right? But I grew up in extreme dysfunction. As a child, I was raped on a daily basis for 6 years, 7 years. I was homeless by 13. I lived on the streets. I did all kinds of crazy stuff to survive until I was 16, and I was ready to commit suicide. And this guy shows up and he says, hey, do you know that God loves you? I'm like, yes, right? Can we just say, because if God loved me, what happened with my first 16 years? And it took years for me to start to trust people. It took years for me to understand and accept the grace of God. I'm 63 years old. I'm still in counseling. Right? I still have years of my childhood I have no recollection of. But God doesn't waste that. God doesn't say, well, she is a broken thing. Let's not take her into anything. No. God says, okay, you have gifts. You have street smarts. I can hotwire your car. If you don't have your car keys, I can hotwire your car like that. I can do all kinds of things that you never can. Yes, Judy, you can call me when you forget your keys. I can do that because God does not waste anything. Your story, whatever it may be, is not wasted. Because when you get to share your story with somebody else and can say, you know what, God redeems it all, then we have a relationship. So we are about relationships. We're about health, spiritual, emotional, physical, mental health. Our focus is on impoverished neighborhoods. So we work in neighborhoods that are oftentimes on the margins of society. We're out in Winton, we're in the Loughborough area. And so many times, folks that live on these margins don't have good health in any aspect. Most of us don't have good health anymore after COVID, right? But reality is people in poverty oftentimes don't have good health. So we are promoting health, and you'll see some pictures later on. The third one is we are about education and jobs. The only way to get out of poverty, from my opinion, especially if you're on the system, is by having good relationships and connections, and by creating educational and job opportunities for folks to move out of it. But it's a long journey. So as we are moving those three things, this is what we do in our neighborhoods. But then the last one is the equipping and coaching. I do a lot of talking with organizations and churches and saying, how do we revamp handouts to hand-ups? How do we move from giving something in an exchange, in just a handout, to saying, what do you have to offer in exchange for it? So you're going to go and see some pictures now, and we're going to go through this quite, oh, the next one. Oops, go back one more, sorry. Thank you, George, for working this out. So we believe that every person has assets, strength, gifts. I cannot say that word, asset, A-S-S-E-T. So my friends in Winton always think I'm talking about A-C-I-D. And they laugh because they think that's a really cool thing to be involved in. It would be a good fundraiser. So, but everybody has social assets, right? We know people. We connect with people. Every community, no matter where you are, has physical assets. You have a basketball court out here. Devin, you better start using that. Where did he go? You better start using that thing out there, right? Everybody has natural assets. There's nature around us. There's beauty around us, even in a drought. Everybody has financial assets. And it doesn't have to be dineros, right? You might have a house. You might be really good at gardening, and you can produce food. Everybody has human assets, a brain, a heart, passion, dreams about the future, and everybody has connections. So really, this is what Lifeline focuses on. So I'm going to show you just in a fast succession a bunch of pictures of what you are making happen in our communities. Go ahead. It starts out with our youngest ones. So these are our under five kids. In the Loughborough area specifically, there's nothing for our kids to do. And so community members said, can you please create an after-school program? So for the last 10 years, we have been doing that. But then we also realized if we don't start with the little tiny ones, they're already behind when they get into Head Start or into preschool. And the teachers here are going, yes, we know that, right? Thank you. This is our newest program that we started. It's called our Tart Time, where we just do interactive work with our little ones under five. Go ahead, take the next one. They're making a snowman out of cotton balls. It's too cute. Okay, next one. This is one of our kids. Our little communities, oh, 5 minutes, shoot, I better hurry. Okay, our community members, our community center in the Meadows, air conditioner is really bad. And so when it's 115 degrees and 100 degrees in the office, in the center, it's too hot. So we take the kids to the library. I love that picture. Okay, go and do the next one. People's Fridge. We started a People's Fridge, which is a refrigerator that's outside, open 24 hours a day for anybody to come and get fresh fruits and vegetables that we get donated. One of our community members actually raises chickens, and so she brings in chickens. No, she brings in eggs for us. On a regular, don't bring us chickens, no. Community members get to do that, right? Eating healthier. I'm not sure what I'm doing here. Okay. Eating healthier. We are trying to help our kids to get away from the junk food that is so cheap to buy by helping them eating healthier. Go ahead. Go ahead, do the next one. I just love that picture. Just love those kids. That was one of the days. See how red she is, her little face. She was just dripping sweat, and she's working on her homework so diligently. It was just the cutest picture. All right, go ahead. Creative arts, keep going. So every afternoon at the Meadows, we have community kids coming in. They're doing their homework. They're getting a snack. We're doing lots of physical activities. During COVID, we did a lot of care packages for them so that their minds stay engaged. Keep going. Oh, summer is always our fun time for the kids. So our kids, both here from Winton and from the Meadows, got to go flying. So we had somebody coming in that explained what a pilot does, how you become a pilot. And they learned how to, about aerodynamics and how to build a plane. And then they all got to go flying. I held on for dear life. I'm sure there are marks in the plane. They all had fun. They had just a great time. Okay, keep going. I love how God works things out. So we've partnered with UC Merced on have some students with us. One of them happened to play instruments, several instruments. One of our kids has, is that a clarinet? Whatever that was, has a clarinet, didn't know how to use it. And God just put those things together. And now there's a little boy learning to play an instrument. Okay, that's in the library, just reading. Keep going. I love when our kids discover reading because it's the future. It's getting them out of poverty for the future, in the future. Go. We did visits to the park. Keep going. I'm sorry, just walk through it. Mental health came in and some classes for us to help our kids stay healthy, especially after COVID. One of our friends, again, a believer, has a swimming pool. Well, when you live in poverty, you never have access to a swimming pool, which means you don't learn how to swim, which means the drowning incidences are oftentimes happening in families of poverty. And so our kids learned how to swim and have a lot of fun in the process. They learned how to ride their bicycles, an important tool to have. Keep going. That's our Winton Community Garden. When we had All Love Winton, they helped us. Kids, everybody from the community comes together and we're working on our garden together. Keep going. Graffiti abatement, the Winton Community Park is being renovated, and so we needed to paint the park. And that was a lot of fun. It was really, really hot and yuck. But we start with the little ones, and I don't know if the fence actually got painted, but they did. and I had so much fun with that. This is actually Faith Community Bible Church up on Winton Way. We partnered with them for the last few years. Our Winton Community Center is really small, and so we cannot have a lot of kids there, so they opened up their facility for us through the summer, actually anytime we want to. And so we started a little community garden out there, and the kids have lots of activities out there during the summertime. Okay, that's when Yosemite Church invited our kids to come to Vacation Bible School. Right? I don't even know what else to say. Okay, being creative, learning to make some stuff. Mental health, keep going. Graduating from high school is a big deal for our kids, because I don't know if you know that 33% of our adults in Merced County do not have a high school diploma. You know all the barriers that creates. So we want to celebrate with our kids when they do that. So we threw a big party for the two kids that graduated high school, and that's their family members. Keep going. This is somebody who always drove her car. She has a car, but she never had a license. So we finally got her to use my car and practice her driving and then get her driver's license. Now she's legal. This is a celebration where we just hang out with our seniors, because we feel our seniors are oftentimes neglected. And so we do lots of activities with them just to celebrate them and connect the young and the old generation together, because there's so much exchange that can happen. She made us a cake. I don't even know what to say. Okay. Yep, same thing. I think that was not actually volunteer appreciation. That was cross training, so all of our staff, most of our staff has come through the Welfare to Work program, which means they're all still single parents that are trying, well, they're always single parents, but they're trying to make things work. And so just amazing giftedness. And so together we learn from each other and then move forward. PACT meeting, we're hosting the PACT, which stands for Probation, Parole, and Community, which is so much fun. This is for men and women that are being incarcerated that are just coming out. It's a one-stop center. Interestingly, most of our speakers are always believers. And so they get to interweave their journey of how do you re-enter society with their faith story. And it's hosted right now at Yosemite Church, so that means they get to be invited to the church at the same time. All right? Staff training. I think I'm almost done. That was just Saturday. We had a community cleanup in the Loughborough area. That was fun. That's just some training I did. Never mind that. Christmas store. So one of the things we're doing is we do not do handouts. We're trying to avoid handouts as a whole. So we have a Christmas store. People donate gifts, brand new gifts to us. We sell them for 20% of the value. So a $20 gift costs a parent $4. We create a Christmas store. Parents come in, they shop for their children, and then they wrap it and give it to their kids. We want to build responsibility. We want to build dignity into it. And then that way the kids are not going to... I'm almost done, right? Out of time here. Sorry. Okay. I don't know if you can read this. I can't read this. It says, how we walk with the broken speaks louder than how we sit with the great. Right? That's really what we're all about, because that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus called us to do. This is what Jeremiah is all about, right? Go ahead. So, how can you seek the peace and prosperity of the city? Here are three opportunities for Lifeline that you can help with. Our budget is $200,000 a year. And I'm only paying minimum wage to my staff, which breaks my heart. I decided to go on Social Security so I don't carry that. Anyway, back up, sorry. We are doing Adopt a Day right now, which means $600 is what it takes us to adopt one day out of the year. I can spend a whole bunch of time working on grants and just trying to get the money through grants. Or we can find 365 people that saying, I'm going to adopt a day. That's $50 a month would adopt a day at Lifeline. I just want to challenge you and encourage you, if you want to make a difference in our communities, that's one way to do it. I know you're supporting a whole bunch of other organizations, so please don't take away from them. But if God calls you to be part of this, we would love to have that. If you want to donate some gifts, we do not do electronics and we do not do violent gifts, so no, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, and you can donate those, and I think in the bulletins are actually the flyers for it. And the third one is engage with your community. Do what God called you to do, right? That might mean food giveaways. And I'm not disking Marcy at all, because we need food these days. Many of us do, right? So understand that sometimes that's needed. But also engage with people in a deeper relationship. We also partnered with Rivera Elementary School. And somewhere in here, I thought there was somebody. Debbie is there, who actually volunteered with us for one semester. After COVID, we started helping with the literacy program, and we're just starting a garden out in the Loughborough area at Rivera Elementary School. So if you have extra time. So let me close up. If you seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you to exile, pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you prosper. Then I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That's what it's all about, right? Go ahead and go to the next one. So thank you very much. Sorry, I probably went over just a little bit. I have a table out there. You already have things in your bulletin. Please talk to me afterwards, and thank you for this opportunity.
Thanks. Thank you, Monica.